Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast family, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, and this is the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen, your co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and next we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I want to take this time to thank everyone that tuned in tonight. I hope what you will do is, as questions or concerns that you might have to something that you're hearing tonight, go within and, as the record said that we were just listening to, have that talk with God. Have that talk with God one-on-one and let Him answer these questions for you or your concerns. He will reveal it to you, I guarantee you. Now, what I'm about to say, I know is going to anger a lot of people, but I'm saying to all, return to spirituality. Forget about religion. Return to spirituality. Now, you might ask, why do I say forget religion? Because it's not good for you. Understand that in order for organized religion to succeed, it has to make people believe they need it. In order for people to put faith in something else, they must first lose faith in themselves. So the first task of organized religion is to make you lose faith in yourself. The second task is to make you see that it has the answers you do not. And the third and most important task is to make you accept its answers without question. If you question, you start to think. If you think, you start to go back to that source within. Religion can't have you do that because you're liable to come up with an answer different from what it has contrived. So religion must make you doubt yourself, make you doubt your own ability to think straight. The problem for religion is that very often this backfires. For if you cannot accept without doubt your own thoughts, how can you not doubt the new idea about God which religion has given you? Pretty soon, you even doubt God's existence, which, ironically, you never doubted before. When you were living by your intuitive knowing, you may not have had God all figured out, but you definitely knew God was there. It is religion which has created agnostics. Any clear thinker who looks at what religion has done must assume religion has no God. For it is religion which has filled the hearts of men with fear of God, where man once loved that which is all in all its splendor. It is religion which has ordered men to bow down before God, where once man rose up in joyful outreach. It is religion which has burdened man with worries about God's wrath, where once man sought God to lighten his burdens. It is religion which told men to be ashamed of his body and its most natural functions. Once man celebrated these functions as the greatest gift of life. It is religion which taught you that you must have an intermediary in order to reach God, where once you thought yourself to be reaching God by the simple living of your life in goodness. It is religion which commands humans to adore God, where once humans adored God because it was impossible not to. Everywhere religion has gone, it has created disunity, which is the opposite of God. Religion has separated man from God, man from man from woman. Some religions actually tell man that he is above woman, even as it claims God is above man, thus setting the stage for the greatest travesty ever fostered upon half the human race. I tell you this, God is not above man, and man is not above woman. That is not the natural order of things, but it is the way everyone who's had power, namely men, wish it was when they formed their male worship religion, systematically editing out half the material from their final versions of the Holy Scripture and twisting the rest to fit the mood their male models of the world. It is religion which insists to this very day that women are somehow less, somehow second-class spiritual citizens, somehow not suited to teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God, or minister to the people. Like children, you are still arguing over which gender is ordained by God to be God's priest. I tell you this, you are all priests, every single one of you. There is no one person or class of people more suited to do God's work than another. But so many of your men are just like your nations, power hungry. They do not like to share power, merely exercise it. And they have constructed the same kind of God, a power-hungry God, a God who does not like to share power, but merely exercises it. Yet I tell you this, God's greatest gift is the sharing of God's power. Then you say, well, I would have to be like God. But not be like God, that would be blasphemy. The blasphemy is that you have been taught such things. I tell you this, you have been made in the image destiny you came to fulfill. You did not come here to strive and to struggle and to never get there, nor did God send you on a mission impossible to complete. Believe in the goodness of God and believe in the goodness of God's creation, namely your holy self. I have said God is everything and God becomes everything. There is nothing which God is not. And all that God is experience of itself, God is experiencing in, as, and through you. God's purest form. In God's purest form, God is the absolute. God is absolute everything and therefore needs, wants, and demands absolutely nothing. From this absolute pure form, God, as you make God, it is as if you were finally to see God and say, well, what do you make of that? Yet, no matter what you make of God, God cannot forget and will always return to God's purest form. All the rest is fiction. There is something, it is something you are making up. There are those who would make God, but who would be jealous when one has and is everything. There are those who would make God a wrathful God. But what could cause God to be angry when, because God cannot be angry or damaged in any way. There are those who would make God a vengeful God. But on whom would God take vengeance, since all that exists is God? And why would God punish itself for simply creating? Or if you must think of us as separate, why would God create you, give you the power to create, give you the freedom of choice to create what you wish to experience, then punish you forever making the wrong choice? I tell you this, God would not do such a thing, and in that truth lies your freedom from the tranny of God. In truth, there is no tranny, except in your imagination. You may come home whenever you wish. You can be together again whenever you want. The ecstasy of your union with God is yours to know again. At the drop of a hat, at the feel of the wind on your face, at the sound of a cricket under diamond skies on a summer night, at the first sight of a rainbow, and the first cry of a newborn baby, the last ray of a spectacular sunset, and the last breath in a spectacular life. God will always, always, even until the end of the time, God is with you. Your union with God is complete. It always was, always is, and always will be. You and God are one, both now and even forevermore. Now, go make your life a statement of this truth. Cause your days and night to be reflections of the highest idea within you. Allow your moments of now to be filled with the spectacular ecstasy of God made manifest through you. Do it through the expression of your love, eternal and unconditional. For all those whose life you touch, be a light unto the darkness and curse it not. Be a bringer of the light. You are that, so be it. You are that, so be it. You are that light. You are that light. So you need to be, you need to be that light. So why do people doubt God? They doubt him because they doubt themselves. Why do they doubt themselves? Because they have been taught to. By whom? People who claim to be representing God. Then you say, well, I don't get it. Why? Because it was a way, the only way to control people. You must doubt yourself, you see, or you would claim all your power. That would not do at all, not for the people who currently hold the power. They are holding the power which is yours, and they know it. And the only way to hold on to it is to starve off the world's movement towards seeing and then solving the two biggest problems in the human experience. Most of it, not all of it, of the world's problems and conflicts and of your problems and conflicts as individuals would be solved and resolved if you would, as a society, abandon the concept of separation. Adopt the concept of visibility. Never see yourself again as separate from another, and never see yourself as separate from God. Never tell anything but the whole truth to anyone, and never again accept anything less than your grandest truth about God. The first choice will produce the second, for when you see and understand that you are one with everyone, you cannot tell an untruth or unhold important data or be anything but total visible with all others, because you will be clear that it is in your own best interest to do so. But this paradigm shifts and will take great wisdom, great courage, and massive determination. Fear will strike at the heart of these concepts and call them false. Fear will eat at the core of these magnificent truths and make them appear hollow. Fear will distort, disdain, destroy. And so fear will be your greatest enemy. Yet you will have not, cannot produce. Yet you will not have and cannot produce the society for which you have always yearned and of which you have always dreamed, unless and until you see wisdom and clarity, the ultimate truth, that what you do to others, you do to yourself. What you fail to do for others, you fail to do for yourself. That the pain of others is your pain, and the joy of others your joy. And that when you disclaim any part of it, you disclaim a part of yourself. Now, in the time to reclaim yourself, now is the time to see yourself again as who you really are. Thus, render yourself visible again. For when you and your true relationship with God become visible, then we are invisible. And nothing will ever divide us again. Although you will live again in the illusion of separation, using it as a tool to create yourself anew, you will hence move through your incarnation without enlightenment, seeing the illusion for what it is, using it playfully and joyful to experience any aspect of who we are and where which it pleases you to experience, yet nevermore accepting it as reality. You will nevermore have to use the device of forgetfulness in order to recreate yourself anew, but will see separation knowingly, simply choosing to manifest as that which is separate for a particular reason and a particular purpose. And when you are thus totally enlightened, that is, filled with the light, you may even choose as your particular reason for returning to physical life the reminders of others. You may select to return to this physical life not to create and experience any new aspect of yourself, but to bring the light of truth to this place of illusion that others may see. Then will you be the bringer of the light. Then will you be part of the awakening. These are others who have already done this. Yes, they are enlightened souls, souls which have evolved. They no longer seek the next higher experience for themselves. They have already had the highest experience, only to bring news of that experience to you. They bring you the good news. They will show you the way and the life of God. They will say, I am the way and the life. Follow me. Then they will model for you what it is like to live in the everlasting glory of conscious union with God, which is called God consciousness. We are always united, you and God. We cannot be. It is simply impossible. Yet you live now in the unconscious experience of that unification. It is also possible to live in the physical body in conscious union with all that is, in conscious awareness of ultimate truth, and a conscious expression of who you really are. When you do this, you serve as a model for all others, others who are living in forgetfulness. You become a living reminder, and in this you save others from becoming permanently lost in their forgetfulness. This is hell, to become lost permanently in forgetfulness. Yet God will not allow it. God will not allow a single sheep to be lost, but will send a shepherd. Indeed, many shepherds will God send, and you may choose to be one of them. And every soul, souls are awakened by you from their slumber, reminding once again of who they are. All the angels in heaven rejoice for these souls, for once they were lost, and now they are found. And then you say, but there are people, holy beings, like right now on this planet. Is that not right? Not just in the past, but right now. Yes, always have been, always will be. God will not leave you without teachers. God will not abandon the flock, but will always send after it God's shepherd. And there are many on the planet right now and in other parts of the universe as well. And in some parts of the universe, these beings live together in constant communion and in constant expression of the highest truth. These are the enlightened societies of which I've spoken about. They exist. They are real. And they have sent you there and missionaries. And you're saying, you mean the Buddha, the Krishna, Jesus, it is the first time you've ever heard that thought. Do you believe these masters exist somewhere before they came to earth and returned to that place after their so-called death? And where do you suppose that place is? Well, then you might say, I always thought it was what we call heaven. I thought we came from heaven. And where do you suppose this heaven is? I don't know. In another realm, I guess. Another world? Oh, yes. Oh, I see. But would I have called it the spirit world? Not another world as we know it? Not another planet? It is the spirit world. Yet, what makes you think those spirits, those holy spirits, cannot or would not choose to live elsewhere in the universe, just as they did when they came to the world? There are many things in heaven and earth that are dreamt of in your philosophy, standing metaphysics. William Shakespeare wrote that. Then Jesus was a spaceman? No, I didn't say that. Well, was he or wasn't he? There is so much we have to learn. I told you, I promised you from the beginning that there will be many podcasts. The first would deal with individual life truth and challenges. Some of the others would discuss truth of life as a family on the planet. And the third, I would cover the largest truth having to do with the eternal question. And this will be revealed, the secret of the universe. No, they are not. That's it. You've got it. Now you understand the divine dichotomy. Now you see the whole picture. Now you comprehend the plan. Everything that ever was is now and ever will be exists right now. And so all that is, yet all that is constantly changing. For life is an ongoing process of creation. Therefore, very real sense, that which is not. The isness is never the same, which means that the isness is not. What we have to understand is we have to be able to understand the first concept, and that is who we are. Not who we've been told, but who we are. And in order for us to know who we are, we can't come to this podcast. This podcast will help you. You can't go to a church. The church might give you some guidance, but what you have to do, you have to go within. You have to go within. As Brother Stevie Wonder wrote, that put pen to pad on that song, you have to have conversation with God. But now when you have this conversation with God, you've got to be able to open up your understanding. Allow God to come in and talk to you and accept and know what it is that he's telling you. And what he's telling you, I can guarantee you, it's going to differ from what you've been taught all your life. But you've got to remember, it is God that you're having that conversation with. It is you. Now, we must know this. We might lie to any and everybody, but the one person you can't lie to is yourself. You can't lie to yourself. So when you're having that conversation, you know that it is you, yourself, and God. And what's being said, don't place it to, because it's different from what you thought you knew. Don't place that on the so-called devil. Because as I've said to you many times, and I promise you on one of these podcasts, I'm going to break it down to you how the devil came into existence. I'm going to tell you all about that. But I want you to focus now on just who it is that you are, who it is you are, and who you're trying to become. And what you are trying to be is the best you that you can be. You create that each and every day. The best you that you can be. And it's important for us to understand that we are part of the body of God. Now, we're having a half an hour conversation this morning, but as we leave, it's just something about the song. As we go to a close, I thank everybody for coming out tonight and listening. But I want you to hear the words of this song. Just listen to it and go within and see how wonderful and magnificent God is as he starts to answer your concerns, as he starts to answer some of the questions that you've had forever that technically religion hasn't been able to answer for you. Have a talk with God.
Without a friend, never come near. someone who never ever let you down. And you can talk to him anytime, he's always around.
When you feel your life too far, you go have a talk with
a talk with God. Just have a talk with God. If you don't go within, you will go without. I do truly thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. I pray that you will take the advice. If you're not listening to me, listen to Brother Stevie, as he said, have that talk with God. I thank you all very much, and I look forward to conversating again Thursday, 8 o'clock. I love you all. Be blessed. And go out and be the best you that you can be. Good night, everyone. Love you all.
Amen. Love you too. Good night.